morning. I apologize for my huge laptop. Dit was nie ons beurt vir krag vanoggend nie. So, I could not print. Thanks. I was thinking I'm not that tall. Yes. So, I'm glad we have electricity here. It's wonderful to be here. I have been welcomed at Shofar Standerton by Heinrich. I've been welcomed at Shofar Johannesburg by Heinrich. I've been welcomed at Shofar Joburg by Heinrich. Now in Somerset West. So, dankie Heinrich. We've known each other for 20 years. Heinrich and Nikki and Anton and myself. There's a lot that we know about each other and we still love each other. Isn't that amazing? They still love us. Let me rather say that. So, yes, thank you for the privilege to be here. It's wonderful to see the three little children being dedicated to God. Children are a blessing from the Lord, and happy to be envied is the man whose quiver is full of them. So it's always the most amazing thing to see children being dedicated to the Lord. I have a word that I want to bring this morning. I hope you did not watch it on Shofar TV. I did bring it last Sunday in Stellenbosch. It's not because I had nothing else this morning. There was quite powerful confirmation yesterday for me as I asked God, what should I bring this morning? And I really felt that the Lord said I must bring the same word. So I believe as we were a couple of people gathering for prayer, representing all of the Shofar churches in Franschhoek, there was somebody who had to bring a word, and he brought exactly the same word. And I just understood that there's something that God wants to speak to us as a big family. And I have to change constantly, and I believe you have to change constantly. And I think these are one of these words that will force us to change. We don't always enjoy it, but it's good for us. It's like vegetables. It's like broccoli. Some of you might enjoy it. I don't, but I know it's good for me. It might be like that. So the title of the sermon is A Delicious Daily Dish. And I want to show you a dish. Oh, there. Very healthy, beautiful, colorful. It's one of my favorite dishes. It's a summer dish. It's very wholesome. But I know for some of you that is not your favorite dish at all. I know for my husband that's great, but he would prefer a picture of steak there, or maybe some calamari or something. So if you don't mind, I would like for you to turn to the person next to you and tell them, what is your favorite dish? And how do you feel when you eat it? I'm going to give you a minute for that. Okay. I hope all had a chance to share. And I'm sure that you told each other, after you said what your favorite dish is, I'm sure that you told each other, when I had that dish, I feel satisfied. I'm not wanting anymore. I remember when I was a child, sometimes I long for those days when I grew up on the farm, and our church was not, let me not say much about our church, it was very short, so we went to church every Sunday morning, and we were home by 10 o'clock, I think, and then my mom would start with this lunch, and then every Sunday we would have the most amazing lunch. Now on a Sunday, since we work in the ministry, we always have bread for lunch with butter and jam. So I sometimes long for those pompoen cookies and scar boat and a beautiful dish that we had every Sunday. Now, I would like to show you another dish. There's some lovely grasshoppers and larvae and worms and cockroaches. Who of you have ever eaten any of those things? Some of the adventurous. There's one person, a couple of us. Okay, now I would like for you, just for another minute, if you don't mind, to tell each other what is the grossest thing that you have ever eaten. For me, that would be Brussels sprouts. So please, if you ever invite me, I will probably run to the bathroom. I'm sorry, forgive me. I just can't imagine that anybody could like them, but I know some people do. Please don't be offended. So please tell the person next to you the grossest thing that you have ever eaten and how did it make you feel? Okay. I would like to read a scripture to you. From Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I remember once I heard somebody said something, and the person in response said to that person, "Eat those words." And the question this morning is, if we had to eat our words, would it leave us satisfied? Would it leave us fulfilled? Or would it leave us nauseous and still wanting? And the Word of God says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And every single day we create dishes with our mouths. And the question is, are we creating steak and some nice spaghetti bolognese or a fruit salad? Or are we creating worms and cockroaches and larvae? Or milk that is sour? What are we creating every day with the fruit of our lips? And I want to share why I am bringing this word this morning. I had an experience fairly recently where I became offended with somebody. Now, we all preach about these things very often, but we also all suffer from it. Over a period of a couple of months, my heart really became troubled with this person, and to the point where I could not keep quiet any longer. And I went to somebody else who was appointed above this person. This is a work-related issue. And I went and I spoke about this person, and I said everything that I feel about this person and everything that I have experienced. And then some things happened and more people spoke, and there was a whole huge thing that happened at the office where I work, the church office in Stellenbosch. And eventually somebody came to me and they said, "Can I speak to you? Can I have a word with you?" And they said to me, "Can I speak honestly?" And I said, "Yes." I didn't want to say, "Please do so," but I did, because it's the right thing to do. Like paying your TV license, it's the right thing to do. The SABC phoned me last week and they said, "Mrs. Myburgh, the SABC is very disappointed that you have not paid your TV license." I said, "I will put you out of your disappointment and I will go and pay it tomorrow," which I did anyway. And the person said to me, "Do you have any idea the distraction that you brought with your tongue?" And they said to me, "Why, when you have a problem with somebody, do you speak about them and not to them? Why did you not go to that person first, like the Word of God tells us to do, and speak to the person? Why did you speak about the person? Do you understand that you spoke to just a couple of people, but they spoke to more people, and in the end, it was only destructive?" So God opened my eyes, and I had to repent, obviously. And God showed me something about the fruit of my lips. And God started a process of discipline in my life. And as I was working through this, I just sensed the Spirit of God says, "You are suffering from something that the whole church is suffering from, not just you. And I want you to expose this thing for what it is, because it brings destruction." And the funny thing is, we know it all. I told the Stellenbosch Church last week My children know it all. They know to greet people. They know to say please and thank you. They know not to fiddle with some things in the house. They know to be obedient. They know all these things. Do you think they apply it? I wish I could say all the time. But the truth is we constantly have to remind them to apply it. And sometimes we have to discipline them. This morning our little Caleb, 4 years old with the little glasses, had the hiding of his life. Just before we went to bed, they were still playing outside. He went and he opened the garden tap. And there it was running the whole night. We discovered it this morning. We constantly need to teach our children. They constantly need cleansing. And I said, God, how is it that I, the preacher, the teacher, how is it that I could go so low? And God said to me, because for every fruit there is a root. Without a root, there is no fruit. And the fruit of your lips comes from the roots in your heart. God said to me, the fruit of your lips comes from the roots in your heart. And I need to deal with those roots. And God said to me, if there is one thing that the church desperately need to understand, not just Shofar, not just Shofar Somerset West, but the church worldwide. Perhaps not the persecuted church. They understand everything. They are giving their lives for the rest of us. We need to understand the holiness of God. We need to understand the holiness of God because we constantly trample over it. And God says, for the time that is coming, and the time is coming, and we are already in it, it is becoming very, very hard. It is becoming very challenging in many ways. God says, there are many a battle that you are going to face. And what is it that is going to get you through those battles? The holiness of God. The fear of the Lord. And God says, you need to understand my holiness. When Moses spoke to God, God said, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. When we are together in the presence of God, we need to understand it is holy ground. When we go out to represent God in the workplace, in our families, where we gather socially, Pastor Henny, you're probably very sad to lose him. Pastor Henny said the most powerful thing the other day in Stellenbosch. He said, we are the temple of God. That is why we say the church is dispersed all over the world. The church is all over the world. The presence of God is all over the world. Why? It's not hard to understand. Because we are the presence of God. Because He lives within us. We are it. We are holy ground, and whenever we use our tongues to bring destruction, it is so sad when we do that. We are trampling on the holiness of God, and God says, I want to uproot that thing in my church. I don't want it there any longer. And I want to speak about the couple of things that is the fruit of a defiled heart. That I see in my life, and as I said, God is in the process of disciplining me in many ways. I am very humble before God. I said, God, you really want me to preach in this time? I'm not sure I should do it. I feel very much not worthy of it. But here I am. God is helping me. And I want to speak about the fruit of a defiled heart. And I want to ask us, as we are identifying some of these fruit, let's be very honest with ourselves. We can fool people. We cannot fool God. We cannot fool God. And the Word of God says, There's an expression in Afrikaans that says, wat die hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. And God says, what I want to do is I want to change your heart. Because when your heart is changed, when the roots of your heart is firmly established in me and in my wisdom and in my love, the fruit of your mouth will constantly bring life, constantly bring hope, constantly bring truth, constantly bring all the good things that God has to bring. And those things cause exponential growth in the lives of people and in the lives of churches. That is why the world should look at us and say, they are different. Because whenever we speak, it will be different. It will be different. And as I have identified many of the fruits in my life of a defiled heart, I want all of us to look in the mirror this morning. It is easy to think, my husband definitely suffers from that one. My mother definitely has a problem there. Let's not do that this morning. Let's look in the mirror this morning because God wants to change us. And the good news is His forgiveness removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. I had the privilege to make an appointment with this person that offended me so much and to repent. That was the only reason for the appointment. Not to justify anything, not to explain anything, only to repent. And he welcomed me back into his life with open arms. And he said, I would love to work with you. There was a new seed of life planted just there. We will probably work together for the next 20, 30 years. I cannot wait to see the fruit of the tree that will come up because of what God did between us. We are inviting them over for a braai. We are fixing. Why? Because this is what is going to bring life. Now let's look at the first fruit. The first fruit of a defiled heart is gossip. Once again, we know it all. We know that gossip is wrong. My 4-year-old son knows that he should not gossip. So we will be somewhere in a shopping mall. I remember once I was with Mikaela, my oldest one. She's 11 now, but she was about 2, 2 and a half. And we were in a shopping mall and we were paying at the till. And there was a man in front of us. And he had tattoos all over his body, top to toe. And he had some studs and rings all over his body. And Mikaela walked up to him before I could catch her. And she stood in front of him with her arm like this and she said, what exactly are you? So I had to apologize and take her aside and said, Mikaela, people are not whats, they are whos. People are never whats, they are always whos, no matter what they look like. It is a who, not a what. And I had to teach her that we don't do that. We don't speak about people like that. We don't speak about people if it is not going to build them up. And what is gossip? And why am I speaking about gossip? Because allow me to say that most of us are doing it. Forgive me. We know it's wrong. Who knows better than me that gossip is wrong? Gossip is when we say something about somebody that we would not say in front of them. Point. That's it. As easy as that, not difficult to understand. Of course, there is a place where we need from time to time to discuss something. Maybe there is a person that I really battle with. I am allowed to go to my husband or a trusted brother or sister who I know will speak the truth and only the truth to me, who can keep confidentiality, whom I can discuss this with. I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the fact that we freely speak about people. Things that we would not say in front of them because we know it would hurt them. That is gossip. The church is very good at that. Let me take it a level further. If we are listening to that gossip and not correcting it, not saying, I am sorry, but I cannot take a part in this. We are as much a part of that gossip as the one who is gossiping. Because we are not standing for the truth. We listened. When you listen, you become a part of it. Let me take it a level higher. And for some of us, this might be challenging. There's much gossip going on in magazines and on TV. If we engage in that gossip, we are feeding our sinful nature, and it is not pleasing unto the Lord. I do not know, and forgive me if this is not good to hear, but I have not ever seen any soapy in my life that is not consumed with gossip. Why do we watch it? I'm sorry if I upset anybody here. Because we are feeding our sinful nature. So I'm not going to gossip about Heinrich because it's not right. But I will watch a soapy. And there I will satisfy my need to gossip. I will read the magazine with all the gossip at the back pages. Because I will feed that need to know about other people, to see other people suffer. Or I was so upset. Let me not go into that. But many times in the media, somebody is severely suffering, and the Christians are the first people to take the juicy detail and discuss all of it. What if it was your family? What if it was your brother who killed somebody behind the bathroom door? How would you feel if you were discussed like that? That is when the world will see we are different. When the whole office is discussing this murder and we keep quiet. More than that, we speak up and we say, yes, but we need to be different. We need to have fruit in our mouths that will bring life. I don't think we are even seeing half of the darkness in our hearts. And I'm trusting God that He will open our eyes, starting with me. I am being disciplined by God for the past 3 weeks. God is speaking to me like never before. We should be different. Let's move on to the second fruit of a defiled heart. Little white lies. I used to do the following. I often buy myself chocolate and then I eat it in the car quickly before I go home when I'm alone in the car, and then I'm not done, have to be accountable for it to anybody because nobody knows that I did it. And then when I take the paper off, I have nowhere to put it in the car. So I put it here in the door of the car. So ever so often there would be a paper there, and then I would forget about it, and then the kids would get into the car, and you know kids can spot a chocolate paper like nobody else can. No wonder we had to go to the dentist the other day. And then they would ask me, who ate that chocolate? And then I would say, I don't know, it's an old paper. And one time it happened again, I did it again, and the word, God spoke to me so clearly. God said, out of the blue, I was not expecting Him, I didn't even want Him to speak, especially not then. He said to me, I hate a lying tongue, because you are lying to your children, and you teach them not to lie. So I had to go the hard way of repentance. So I said to them, Michael said, Mama, wat se papier is het daai? And I said, it's an old paper, and God spoke to me, and I said, okay, Michael, I just lied to you. This is not an old paper. This is the man-sized bar one that I ate yesterday. So Michael looked at the paper, and he looked at me, and he said, what about all the other papers in the past? And I said, God, do you hate me or what? You know, like David says, God, what do you have against me? Are you trying to punish me or what? And then they said, but you always tell us not to lie, and you lie to us. And I had to repent very humbly and explain to my children that I did exactly that, and that they should pray for me that I will not ever do that again. I will never lie to them again. There must be something about us that is not like the world. Everything about us. And we should not tell little white lies. Why? Because yes, nothing is going to happen if I tell my children that is not my paper. It's not like murdering somebody. Nothing is going to happen. Apart from the fact that the holiness of God will depart from me. Because God is truth. And the truth cannot lie. So if I lie to Michael about the bar one paper, then I can lie to my colleague about his pen that is gone, that I quickly used and I didn't put it back. And I'm just like the world. And when we want to make room for the holiness of God, we need to walk in the light in a very radical way. And I especially want to speak to those of us who are married. Husbands and wives should stop telling white lies to each other. It does not glorify God. We need to speak the truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Because we need the holiness of God. We need to teach our children about the holiness of God. And yes, we do sin from time to time. That is what makes us human. Our children are naughty very often. I'm not expecting them to never be naughty. That is fine. In fact, if they were not, I would worry. If sometimes they are very well behaved and I wonder what is going on. But I need them to be honest. I want them to be honest with me, and I will not punish them as badly for the act of being naughty as for lying about it. Because they must understand, if we want God to rule and reign in our family, and wherever you are, wherever you live, whoever you live with, if you want the presence of God where you dwell, we need to be truthful at all times. Let's move on to a third one, fruit of a defiled heart. I want to read from Proverbs 17, verse 27. He that has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. It says, he that has knowledge will spare his words. I have been in so many meetings, in so many gatherings, in the church or at the school where my children are, wherever it may be, where I see Christians, born again Christians, who are so opinionated about so many things, and they forget that the Word of God says, he who spares his words is a wise man or a wise woman. We went through a difficult time this year in Shofar, and some of you may know some about that. And I just saw how so many opinions bring so much destruction. Do you know that God never asked us our opinion? Did you know that? When Moses said, this is my opinion, I'm not going to Pharaoh, forget about it, I stutter, God became angry. God is not asking us for our opinion. God says, the Word of God says, submit unto each other. Submit unto each other. What does that mean? That means that sometimes, however strongly I may feel about something, I must zip my lips, be quiet, and for the greater good of the big group, for the sake of unity, for the sake of moving forward in love and grace, I need to keep quiet. You know, often God will allow a situation just to teach us that. Wise is the man or the woman who can spare their words for a time when God releases us to speak. Ladies, I'm sure we found this in marriage, all of us. Men don't, forgive me. Men don't always listen to their wives. But when God says, now is the time to speak, now you speak. God will create moments ever so often with our children. We can see something is bothering them. Something is wrong. God says, no, don't speak now. Don't speak now. And then there comes a moment and God says, by His Spirit, who is faithful to speak to us, He says, now is the time to speak. Speak now. And God will give the words. One of my greatest desires, and this is one of the few things that I do not suffer from. Long ago, God has taught me that there are times when I should just be quiet. And it was a hard lesson. But so often I look at the body of Christ and I desire with all of my heart that we can, and forgive my words, shut up so that we can listen and hear what God is trying to say. Often, even and especially in church meetings, we have so much to say and the leader is trying to lead and we do not at all allow him. I have learned in my marriage, following my husband as the leader, that he will make some mistakes. Sometimes I would warn him and he would still make those mistakes. But I have learned, rather go with the mistake in unity, loving each other, than going different ways. Why? Because when we are together, there's love in the home, there's peace in the home, and we have happy children. They don't even know we are doing the wrong thing. They don't even know we shouldn't have bought that car or moved to that town. They don't even know it. They just see mommy and daddy are happy, they love each other, God is good. But if my husband goes left and I go right, man, we do have a problem. Rather go right when you should have gone left. Unless it is something completely unbiblical and ungodly, obviously. We need to spare our words. We need to listen before we speak. We need to be patient sometimes. And God will allow us to speak when the time is right. Let's move on to another fruit of a defiled heart. Proverbs 15 verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Do you know what the Word of God says? Who will be called the sons of God? Is it those who can worship the best? Is it those who come to church every Sunday and small group every Wednesday? We should do those things. It is extremely important. But who will be called the sons of God? Those who are the peacemakers. I have learned, especially being married to my husband for almost 16 years, 15 years. We got married on Millennium Day, so must be 15 years, 2015 is approaching. I have learned what a soft answer can do for a broken relationship. I often tell people the only reason why we are happily married is because my husband is willing to be the least so often. Because he was the one who said, okay, I will say sorry. I will be the least. I will give a soft answer. I remember once I told my husband years ago, a couple of years ago, I sat in front of him and I said, I don't want to be married to you any longer. I don't want to live with you any longer. I don't want to raise kids with you any longer. I definitely do not have want more children with you. I said very many things and was very unpleasant. And then he looked at me for a long time and he said, I do want to be married to you. I do want to raise children with you. I do want to share a house with you. I do want to live with you. I do want to die with you. I do want to. I love you. It took the wind out of my sails. A soft answer turns away wrath. The Word of God says, he who can control his spirit is mightier than he who can take a city. I have seen the strength of a person who can give a soft answer when everything inside of them wants to destroy. It takes the Spirit of God. But God knows if we can learn that. If we can learn to give a soft answer. And when we want to give the angry answers, we run to God. And we say, God, you know what I want to do? I want to kill him. I want to strangle him. I want to kill him slowly. I remember when I was a child, I did not like my brother. Understatement, let me just stick to that. I did not like him. And I had this fantasy. This is terrible. I shouldn't share this. But anyway, the kids are not here. I had this fantasy. I probably saw it in some other horror movie that I shouldn't have seen. Where he's asleep at night and I walk in with a knife like this, like the horror movies. And the music, ta-da! And I kill him. See, sometimes we are so angry, we are so disappointed, we are so frustrated. We have thoughts that is wrath, revenge, that is unbearable. We need to go to God with that. We need to come with a soft answer because it will bring more healing than we can ever imagine. Because when we give a soft answer, we allow the Spirit of God into that situation. Why? 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 Because we die to self. Because we die to self. Whenever we die to self, we allow the Spirit of God into that situation. Let me move on to another one, very important one. Murmuring. We see the nation of Israel in the desert, and they are murmuring. They are murmuring, they are murmuring, they are murmuring. God did things in their midst that we have never seen. God opened the Red Sea. I don't have to tell you the stories. We know it. God has done things in their midst that mankind has never seen ever since. But yet, they are murmuring. One of the very, very bad fruits of a defiled heart is not to be thankful. And when we murmur, we are the opposite of grateful and thankful. And why is it important to be thankful? Why is it important not to murmur? Why? Because we enter the presence of God with what? With thanksgiving. If we do not understand to be thankful firstly for our salvation, and if that is only it, then that is it. That is enough. But if we can, and then on top of our salvation, we have an incredible amount of stuff to be grateful for, to be thankful for. And the moment that we murmur, we quench the presence of God. We quench it completely and absolutely. I remember, and I think I've told this story before, forgive me if I did. I remember I was busy making sandwiches for my children. And it's five lunch boxes every morning. And then in the afternoons, there would come some poorer kids often that would come and play with us and swim with us. And we sort of love to do that. And then I would make sandwiches for them as well. And I ended up making breads and breads and breads. I'm buttering so many sandwiches for so many months. And I don't like doing that at all. And I remember I was standing in the kitchen, I was buttering some of the sandwiches one afternoon, and I was absolutely irritated with all these hungry kids. And I was standing there and I was murmuring in my heart and even murmuring with my mouth, and I said, God, I am sick and tired of making sandwiches. I've had it. Can you please send me somebody that can do it for me? I'm over it now. I've done it for many years. I don't want to do it anymore. And the Spirit of God spoke to me very clearly, and He said, put down the knife and lift your hands and thank God that you do have hands to make sandwiches with. I have a very good friend. Her name is Toni. Some of you may know her. She has cerebral palsy. She's one of my best friends. And Toni said to me, she's severely disabled. Who of you know her? Severely disabled. Toni said to me, Christelle, can you guess, if you could guess, if I could ask one thing from God, what would I ask? If I could change one thing about my body, what would that be? And I said to her, Toni, that's easy, your speech. I'm sure you would ask God to change your speech so that when you speak, people can understand you, because it takes some practice to understand her. She said, no, it's not my speech. Clearly you don't know me well enough yet. She said, it's my hands. If only I could use my hands. She said, there's nothing that I would want more in this life than to be able to use my hands. There's something that we must understand. God requires from us to act towards Him out of a grateful heart. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. It is your kindness, O Lord, that leads us to repentance. It is your goodness, God, that draws us nearer to you and unto you. We need to understand when we are grateful, when we are thankful, when we do not allow ourselves to murmur at all. I tell my children, you can do lots of things, maar as jy gaan kerm en kla, moet jy baie mooi weet. Jy gaan die pak slaaf van jou lewe kry. Why? Because God cannot work with people who are murmuring. We can murmur with our mouths, we can murmur in our hearts, and when we murmur in our hearts, it will eventually move to our mouths, and it will become the fruit of our lips. That is why God says, if you want to enter my presence, you start with thanksgiving. I need you to come before me, understanding what I have done for you, and how much I love you, and what I want to do for you and through you. You cannot receive it, or understand it, or comprehend it, if you are not grateful and thankful. There is always a lot to be grateful for. We need to come into the presence of God constantly with thanksgiving. And then the last fruit of a defiled heart. When we speak about the truth of God, we understand that when we come to God, God is very real and God is very real with us. We can hide nothing from God. But this is what we do, especially in church. We are not real with each other. So we come to church and here comes somebody that we do not like at all. Like I shared with you, that offended you. Like I shared my own experience. And whenever we see that person, the offense within us will rise up again. And what do? We see the person and the person says hi and we say, hi, I'm so glad to see you. Because we think it's the right thing to do to be nice. But we are lying. And when God is truth, we should understand that He needs us to be truthful. God did not call us to never be angry, never be irritated, never always like everybody. He called us to walk in the light. So when we have an issue with somebody, what do? We stop lying to them. I'm happy to see you. It's good that you are here. You are welcome in my house, and you are thinking, I wish you would leave right now. No, we need to fix it. The Word of God says, if you know your brother has something against you, you go and you fix it. If you have something in your heart against somebody, you sit on a chair and you make eye contact and you speak about it so that your heart can be clean and you don't walk with hidden offenses and anger. When my children come to me, Michaela comes and she says, Mama, Michael kicked me. Then what do? I say, call him. So Michael comes and I let them stand there and I say, okay, Michael, did you kick Michaela? Sometimes somebody must intervene. The other day I sat with two ladies and I said, okay, now you are angry at her and you are angry at her. Let's fix it. How do you feel? They ended up hugging and kissing each other and having coffee together all the time. We need to understand that God called us to be real. We become so holy in the church that we miss the bare basics. I had somebody in the church who came to me the other day. I'm almost finished. Where there are no time cards in this church, hey? Where are we now? Ek's amper klaar. She came to me and she said, Do you know what I find very hard working for the church? She works at the head office in Stellenbosch. She said, before I became born again, me and my friends, we would sometimes be very ugly with each other almost. You know, we would fight. She said, but at least we got it out there. We walked in the light. We sorted it. She said, now I'm in the church and I work for the church and everybody's just always smiling and nobody's speaking directly to me. I hear from that person that one is offended with me, but we don't even argue. We just cover it up. We just cover it up. God spoke to me so clearly. He said, no more covering up. No more unreal. No more lies. So when I walk into church and there is Johnny, I'm sorry if there's a Johnny here, and I am offended with Johnny, instead of sensing this offense in my heart once again, I am going to walk up to Johnny. Instead of doing a fake smile, I'm going to say, Johnny, I need to speak to you. Can we have coffee this week? And when we have coffee, I'm going to say, Johnny, I respect you because I'm always going to do it in a loving and respectful manner. And I'm going to say, I respect you as a brother in the church, but when you did that, you really hurt me, and I want to fix it. We need to become real. Let's end. We are almost finished. How do we uproot the evil in our hearts? Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is like a bright torch light that comes and it shines on our hearts so that we can see and so that we can repent. I told us in the beginning of the sermon that we constantly need to remind our children, constantly need to teach them. We need constant cleansing. And that is what we are going to do right now with the bread and the wine. We need constant cleansing. We must constantly become before God and say, God, I've got this in my heart. I've got that in my heart. I've got this. God, you see the roots in my heart. God, you see the darkness in my heart. Lord Jesus, come and cleanse me. I want to ask if we can distribute the communion. Something that God showed me clearly is that I cannot measure my level of holiness, if we can call it that for a moment. It's not like it is in levels, but if we can just call it that for a moment. I can never measure my level of holiness against other people or against the book that I read, or against anything else but the Word of God. Because people will always fail us. People will always make mistakes. I cannot build my relationship with God upon somebody else's convictions. I need to build my relationship with God on the Word of God. And I will walk in a holy manner. There is a beautiful poem that I wanted to show to us, but now we can't do that. So we will just replace that with a prayer. I want to ask us, as we are going to just have communion together. You know, it is the most amazing thing. You know that song, Oh Happy Day, My Sins Are Washed Away. I have learned in my life that all the people that are walking this earth suffer from condemnation. Have you noticed that? Everybody suffers from condemnation. The Word of God says it is Satan who accuses us 24/7. But only the born-again Christians know what to do with that suffering. Only the born-again Christians cannot be condemned anymore, can be free from condemnation. I want to ask us to, once again, in little groups of two or three, to just share with each other. And I want to encourage us to be honest with each other this morning, because Honesty is the way to go. If something is in the light, Satan has no power over it anymore, not at all, because it is out there in the light. So let's turn to each other and share with each other the fruit that we heard now. Murmuring, gossiping, white lies, not being real with each other. Whatever it may be that you could identify in your life. Let's just share that with each other and come before God and do the communion together. Have the bread together, have the wine together. And just let's just come before God and ask God to forgive us. Let's be honest with each other. And then let's ask God to cleanse us. And pray together. I want to ask another 5 minutes, then we will be finished. Pray together and commit ourselves. Let's commit ourselves to the process of continual cleansing. Continual cleansing. So that our hearts will be rooted and grounded in God. So that the fruit of our lips will grow mighty trees for the nations to eat from. So let's do that for 5 minutes and then please don't go. We are all going to end off together. Let's carry on. That's fine. Let's close our eyes and I'm just going to ask you to pray a prayer after me, where we as a church are just going to commit ourselves to this process of cleansing, asking God to change our hearts constantly. And then we are just going to end with a song, and then you can go home and have some lovely coffee in the foyer. And before we do that, I just want to say that if you are here this morning and you do not feel that you know God, you do not feel that you have a free and personal knowledge of Him, then please come to the front. We would love to pray with you. Your life will change, I promise you. Your life will change. My life has changed. Many people that are sitting here, their lives completely changed when they gave their lives to the Lord, completely and absolutely surrendering to Him. It's a process, but it will never be the same again. Okay, so let's just close our eyes. I just want to ask that you pray after me. Oh, precious Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the great cleanser. As a church, we come to you this morning and we ask that you cleanse our hearts. Let the words of our mouths and the intentions of our hearts be acceptable unto you. Oh, precious Lord, Father, we want you to always be welcome in our midst. May we use our tongues to create a place for you, where you can be with us and where we can be with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.